Kof Shvat, Tuesday the 21st of January, Rabbi Avram Stern, in Yonim from the Parsha.
Welcome to all those who start their day of the Torah way. I dislike talking publicly unless I feel that my words are worthwhile saying. And since I still am hesitant as to whether my words are worthwhile saying, so I'm still reluctant to talk. But I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me to say something which will be of use to all those who are hearing it. I saw some time ago in the Shloh HaKadosh on Parsha Shmois. He's talking there about the Shovovim. We're now nearing the end of the Shovovim. Shmois Vo'er Boba Shalach Yisro Mishpotim. Tam Adon Truma Tetzaveh. The Shovovim, which were weeks which were set aside for tshuva in different forms. It's very interesting. This Shloh HaKadosh lived a few hundred years ago. According to him, the Shovovim was specifically, the minhag, the custom of Shovovim, was specifically and seems only for Shona Mu'uberes, for a leap year like we are in now. So according to the Shloh HaKadosh, only the origin of the Shovovim was for a year like us now of a Shona Mu'uberes, a leap year. Why? So the Shloh HaKadosh says something very strange. He says that what was the first sin of the world? The very first sin of the world, he claims, before the sin of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, the very first sin was when the moon started quarreling with the sun. I don't know if people are familiar with that Shloh HaKadosh. You know it? Very good. Well, I didn't before I saw it. So he says, when the moon, so go ahead as though you didn't know it. So when the moon started quarreling with the sun, it was rivalry between the sun and the moon. That means we don't know exactly how it was, because the whole system of luminaries at the beginning of creation was changed to at the end of the 7 days. And in any case, the whole thing was on a completely different level before the sin of Adam and Chava. But that's, those are the words. And because the moon seemed to be equal, the sun seemed to be a body which had lightness on its own, not just a reflection of the sun. And because it couldn't stand having competition, so Boho taught it a lesson, said from now on you have to come on to that other one whom you can't stand his competition. You can't stand his competition, so you're going to be under him. That was the very first lesson of rivalry from which the world has been suffering ever since. By the looks of it, I can see that all of us here are obsessed with our religion. Why are we so obsessed with our religion? If you ask me, I'll tell you, I love being Jewish. I just love the fact that I'm born a Jew. I look around and see all the other nations where I come, wherever I am. And I love the fact, I'm so thankful to Hashem that I was born a Jew. I'm so, in fact, in spite of the fact that I know the tremendous achrayus, the tremendous responsibility of being a Jew, far more than any other nation of the world, and especially of being a Jew who has received a religious education the way I have, I'm nevertheless ever so fond of being a Jew. In every movement, I have an opportunity, if I were to avail myself, of expressing my obedience and my love and my commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I once heard the following story from Rav Moshe Aaron Stern Zatzal. It was Mashgiach of Kamenitz Yeshiva. He told me that his grandfather, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman, Rav Yochanan Wasserman came to visit Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman in America. And and he was staying by him. He was raising money. What exactly? And he was staying with Rabbi Yaakov Zuhalman. So grandfather told him, Moshe Anshan, the grandson, he said, you know, the Elchanan Wasserman said to me, ich bin mekane die Amerikaners. I'm jealous of the Americans. I mean, the American Jews. So he said, so he asked him, what's the Amerikaners, Americanas? What's it to be jealous of American Jews? So said Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, you have a mitzvah here, which I don't have in Branyevich. In Branyevich, I almost never see a car. I see on my way to the yeshiva, I'm spending most of my day, there are 15 roads to cross. Or 5 or 15, I'm not sure anymore. Let's call it 15. Any case, and there's so many cars. And each time I cross the road, I'm a kaim, a mitzvah of nishmartem mo'odon nashreseichem. Left, right, right, left. I'm a kaim, a mitzvah, I fulfill a precept, nishmartem nashreseichem. I don't have that in Branyevich. I'm so jealous of you. I was once walking with his grandson, Moshe Arnstein, in the streets of Shari Chesed, and we were walking, we came to the roads, and he reminded me of that story. He said, no, you have to think before you cross. Not just think of the cars, think of doing a mitzvah. So Moshe Arnstein used to say that a person who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and loves his religion, he can find a mitzvah in every situation. You're crossing the road, he can find a mitzvah. You ask someone, can you please pass me something? Instead of saying to the person, what, the person doesn't have arms himself, I'm a slave? No mitzvah, alachta v'drochov. He said, the belly of Lapyam used to point this out to them. A person goes to sleep at night, he's got a mitzvah of nishmatim lavtar seichim, should be refreshed, and the mitzvah of refreshing himself, then he should have strength to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the next day. The Chofetz Chaim tells us, al always, on the Gemara in Makkah, Staf Yud Amad Aleph. The Gemara in Makkah says there that Rav Chisda lived a very long life. He lived till the age of 92, says the Chofetz Chaim. But those days, apparently, was a long life. And now, 92 is a young man. But then it was a long life. So, at any rate, so Rav Chisda, says the Gemara, Rav Chisda was zoiche, he met at zikna muflege, such old age, because he was constantly learning Torah. Asa Chavetz Chaim, he was constantly learning Torah, he wasn't eating, he wasn't sleeping. Says the Chavetz Chaim, he was eating, was sleeping as well, just like everyone else. But when he ate and when he slept, he remembered to think, so I should have strength to learn Torah. And that was considered though he's learning Torah non-stop for 92 years. I heard from Rav Matisyahu Salomon Razabacha, he said that someone once came to the Chofetz Chaim and he said, I wish I could sit and learn all day. So the Chofetz Chaim says, what do you do? So he told him, there's a long day, a long working day. And what do you do when you come home? With my last strength, I like you, Pechevra, I sit down, I learn something. And why do you work all day? Because I have to bring in the Parnasa to bring up a Torah at home. A Torah-orientated home. Said the Chofetz Chaim, when you get upstairs, you can tell them that I, as the Moel Mayor of Radin, I'll decide that you learn 16 hours a day. Because I know that's what you want. Oh, circumstances make it, you have to do other things. What is the sign that we want it? Says Rabbi Shmuel, when he has this argument with Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai as to whether you're meant to sit and learn all day or also get a worthy profession, as happens to be a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So says the Chofetz Chaim, says Rabbi Shmuel, Gmor Brochas, Haneg Bohem Min Hagderech Eretz. Says the Chaim Volodina in Ruach Chaim, what does it mean, Haneg Bohem Min Hagderech Eretz? What's Bohem? In Nefesh HaChaim. What's Haneg Bohem Min Hagderech Eretz? That means, when the person goes to work, it's Bohem with the Torah, together with the Torah. If it cannot be Bohem, he's got no right to go to work. It's some person sitting in the kollel and it's not Bohem, because he's wasting his time at the expense of all those who are donating. That's also not Bohem. He's a thief. He's cheating his supporters. When he gets upstairs, the Chofetz Chaim says, the Zvulun would say, no, give me half of yours, and he'd get disgraced forever. He hasn't got anything to hand over because he was wasting his time. Hanek bohem minak derech eretz means that a person who is, as we just said, obsessed about his Torah, just like a slave, why, says the Ramban, why did Hashem, why stress in Beis Avodim? We were in training grounds when we were in Egypt to learn what it means to be a slave, so that when we come out, we can use all that we went through, all the travails and all the burdens we went through Mitzrayim, we'll be able to focus it on Hashem. Hashem says, "Sir Mitzrayim, Beis Avodim, Beis Avodim, we Beis Avodim were slaves, now I become my slave." The big difference is that be a slave of Paroi is a pain. To be a slave of the Bnei Shalom is a privilege. Why is it such a privilege to be a slave of the Bnei Shalom? I once heard, it's meant to be on the parsha, and it all links up in the parsha in a few moments. Be'ezras Hashem. Why is it such a privilege to be a slave of the Bnei Shalom? I once heard the following mashal from Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, Zatzal, I mentioned just before, he was Mashiach Kamnitz Yeshiva. In Yerushalayim, he was very, quite well known. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern gave the following mashal. Just imagine, he said, that we would be told, I'm saying the way he said it, you can make emendations and try to make some stories sound more normal, but I say the way I heard it, from what I remember. He said, just imagine, we're told the Chofetz Chaim is coming back for a week. Going to be with us for a week. And one young man is going to be selected to wait on the Chofetz Chaim for that week. The Chofetz Chaim coming back for 1 week. Unbelievable. Yeah? You can save so many years of learning just by spending that week with him and his middos and everything and his Hanhogos and his Torah and who won that privilege? And the young man gets selected. And he's in seventh heaven for all that whole week. At the end of the week, the people in charge, whatever it is, family people in charge, say, can we pay you for your services? Pay me for my services, he says. Pay me? I owe you. No, we want to pay you something. What did you have in mind to pay me? A crate of Coca-Cola. Doesn't make any sense. So the Moshe Aaron Stern, Zatzal, is not the Chofetz Chaim, is not the Vilna Gaon, or the Admor or the Balatanya, it's not the Rambam, it's not one of the Amoy Roim. It's not one of Tanoim, it's not David HaMelech, it's not even Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And we are in this world for, hopefully, maximum 120 years. Maximum 120 years. And 120 years to compare to eternity, which we're meant to be saving up for, is a drop in the ocean. It's like a less than a week out of our lives. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not the Chofetz Chaim. It's not Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was before the Torah was given. It's me. The point is, I agree in the blueprint. I agree in my Torah. Just get on with it. Do it. Just do it. What a privilege. What a privilege. We think it's hard. And it's such a burden. We think the ways of our Yiddishkeit are hard and rough and tough. It's not true. We think it's so hard to get on with our wives, so hard to get on with our children, so hard to get on with our neighbors, with our in-laws, with our friends. Everything's a burden. Rush, rush, rush. And we think, oy vey, poor me, rushing, suffering. I have to keep quiet here. I have to swallow my pride over there. You don't need to swallow your pride. It's a privilege to keep quiet. Hane lovim bein amoylim, shoyim cheposein amashivim, oisim meyavos, meichim yitzurim. But just enjoys it. Why is it? What's meichim yitzurim? The person feels it's not for me. It's my privilege. My privilege to give this life up for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Alema kosvoimer v'oyhavov. Those who love Hashem, katzeis Hashemesh bigvurosoi. It's like when the sun comes out in all its might and all its glory. Im kesef talve es ami es ami es on imoch loisi loy knoyshe loisa simon olav neshech ne a pasuk in this week's parsha im kesef talve es ami es on imoch Hakadosh Baruch Hu says the Chavetz Chaim gives us a loan as well. Every night we give our neshamas back to Hashem. He returns it a pikodon. He returns it to us. Our whole life is one big loan. Says the Chavetz Chaim, imagine that one person was given a loan to invest, money to invest, of, let's call it, you know, who knows what, £50,000. Another was given £10,000 to invest. And the one who was given £50,000 wasted £40,000. The one who was given £10,000 wasted £9,000. Who wasted more? Or the one who wasted more? Or the one who gave £10,000 wasted £5,000. Who wasted more? The one who wasted 40, the one who wasted 5. The more, says the Chavetz Chaim, the bigger the loan we've received. So the Chavetz Chaim says, so the same thing you give the poor man, you lent him money. So Klei Yocho says, don't try and be a usurer to Hashem. You should know that the biggest privilege, says the Klei Yocho, that the poor man, say Chazal, why is he poor, say Chazal? So in order we should have the opportunity of giving charity. So that means that poor man has to go through all his problems, all his suffering for my sake. Says the Klei Yocho points that out. If Chazal say that the reason the poor man suffers in order that I should have the mitzvah of charity, that means he's giving me a bigger favor than what I'm doing him. He's suffering his poverty so that I should be able to give him Stockholm. That's what the Torah says. Lo si eloi kenoishe. Right? You should say thank you that I have the money to give to him. He doesn't have it, I have it. And the same thing goes metaphorically for our commitments to Hashem. There's a problem which is besetting all parts of religious Jewry at the moment. And that's what they call youth at risk. Youth at risk. When I left Beitar, I was wondering, perhaps it's only in Beitar. You know, in Beitar, I live in Beitar, you see so many boys, they're not on the derech, they're not off the derech, they're in midair. They're not religious, they're not irreligious. You know, they just got these galaxies, iPhones, and they're just frustrated individuals, they don't know where they belong. They even get themselves now, they have a special outfit there, they have a big white kapel, which no one else wears other than these types of boys. It's not Mizrahi, it's not Haredi, it's their own uniform now. And they're announcing to the world, I am a misfit. That's what they're announcing with the kippah, that's what they want to show. I'm suffering. I thought perhaps it's only Beitar, sometimes only Lakewood. Yesterday I was in St. John's Wood Synagogue, I saw a book lying there. It was written by some lady, it was written about the boys at risk in Golders Green. That was the topic of the book, Boys at Risk in Golders Green. So I understood from there. I was being Dave Myers on the phone last night. He's a good friend of mine. He's one of the people in charge of the Hasmonean. And he was telling me, yes, it's a big problem. A big problem. The teachers blame the parents blame the teachers, the children blame both, and the parents blame the children, obviously. It's a big problem. The problem of these youth is risk of problem which people are trying to tackle, and the more they're tackling it, they're helping, but the bigger the problem gets as well. It's getting worse and worse. So many things being done, more places being opened, children, the boys come, they go, they come, they go, they're inconsistent, and there's one big mess. And for whatever reason, our society has produced that mess. In every society with its own mistakes. Too much pressure, too little pressure, never get it right. Always blame the parents, never get it right. But one thing, which is certainly a guideline for all of us. Obviously, the problem Sholem Bayis, very frequently, the problem Sholem Bayis. The husband wants to rule, the moon wants to rule, the sun wants to rule, as we started off with. There's a problem Sholem Bayis. The gaiva, everyone wants to be on, the father wants to rule, the mother wants to rule, the child wants, son wants to rule, the daughter wants to rule, everyone wants to be the boss, not going to tell me what to do. Boys are stifled, life is unenjoyable, Yiddishkeit is not an enjoyment. In the school, all it is marks, 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 tests, exams, 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 and the boy is weak in his studies. What they have to show is not good in anything. Or he's good perhaps in something which is not even appreciated in the school. He might be, he's good at soccer or football, but in that school, soccer and football is considered to be, call it talbus yovon, whatever it is. So, in any case, what's he have to show? Gets frustrated. I was recently, just before I left, I test classes in the Talmud Torah in Beitar. And I've noticed the problem already builds up. It's building up before it's noticed. There's the weak boys. What have they to be happy about in life? About another 10%? The Rebbe purposely asks them an easy question so they shouldn't be put to shame. And even that easy question they can't answer because they're totally spaced out. What's it? So I said, I was talking to the staff, take time till I get it in. I was talking to the Hanhol of the school. And I said, we've got to start bringing excitement and choim, warmth. What they call, I'm not a chassid, I can say what the chassidim call chassidus. A bit of warmth to the, I'm not against chassidim, I'm born to chassidic friends. But at any rate, what's called warmth, warmth. So I suggested they should start making Melav and Malkus. Voynik Shabbos, everything I say has got some counter arguments. Why it's not good, the wrong boys who shouldn't be in the streets at night, how could they come to Voynik Shabbos, they will take them back home again, parents will alone with their children. Always everything meets with some counter argument. They first agree, they disagree, it still has to be pushed. But I think there's much more to be gained than there's to be lost. That there is, should be Menava Malkus with all the singing, with warmth, and you should try and create within the classroom at least a feeling of a family. Then after children go away from yeshiva, they come back again, they go to yeshiva, they come back, they should have reunions, with lots of reunions, warmth, they should feel that this is something, at least somewhere they got warmth, Torah-dika warmth. And the same has to come from the home, tolerance, love, warmth. The end of last week's parsha, we learnt. End of last week's parsha, parsha as Yisro. We had two mitzvahs. Mizbach avonim ta'aseli, loisim nehen gozis. If you build an altar of stone, loisim nehen gozis, you mustn't hew it. You mustn't hew it with iron. You waved your sword in it, you profaned it. So we know the famous Rashi, quoting Chazal, amongst other things, Rashi says that the Mizbeach, the altar, is to place peace between ourselves and Hashem. It's not right that a destructive thing like a sword or iron should be waved against it. If already, says Rashi, stones which cannot see, nor hear, nor speak, and because they make peace between us and our Father in heaven, the Torah says don't use iron on them. A person manages to make peace between one man and his fellow man, between man and wife. Man and wife doesn't only mean the other person's man and wife, it's between himself and his own wife, obviously, comes first. Between family and family, all the more so nothing will come his way. That's Rashi number one. The next Rashi, Loisaleva Malois al Mizbechi. You mustn't make steps leading up to the Mizbeach. So Rashi explains, right? Rashi says, is it Kalvacham, these stones, they don't care if you disgrace them. The Torah says that since you need them, don't mistreat them. Don't behave in a slightly respectless way. Your friend, Kubit Mus, Yoitzacho, Makid al Bizyoinoi, al Ahas Kamavachama. Your friend was created in the image of his creator, and he does care about his disgrace. How much more so should you care? And right away, we start the Ve'ele HaMishpotim. Ve'ele HaMishpotim, and Rashi says, the Ve'ele tells you to link you up to the previous Ma'elu Misinach, Elu Misinach. And the clay, right? And so the Kleyocha adds, amongst many, many other things I haven't got time to say now, but the Kleyocha adds that, why did we have to make this special Mizbeach just before Parshas Mishpotim? Why can't we wait till we have a Mishkan, amongst other things he says? For this very method, Ve'ele, is to tell you to link it up to the previous, Ma'elo Misinai af Elo Misinai. Right? Shetosim, and also telling them is that the Sanhedrin has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, near the Mizbeach is. So there's a very important link, as the Kleyocha points out, that all that we learn from building the Mizbeach are also guidelines for the judges. The Gemara tells us, Loisaleva Maalois al Mizbechi, the same pasuk we had, also tells you, Hevu Mesunim Badin. But it's to be deliberate, careful in judgment. Loisaleva Maalois al Mizbechi, Chazal tell us, because of the juxtaposition, it's not talking about the Mizbech, Sanhedrin next to Mizbech, tell you to conduct yourself the same way. Like a person should not be make pasiyah, he shouldn't make big strides and show off and make show off. Like it says, he shouldn't beroish on, he shouldn't show off and make people all stand up for him and make people have to respect him. That's all learnt out. The judges, even the judges mustn't behave that way. That's all learnt out from the juxtaposition. If already a judge must conduct himself with humility, even though he has a position where he's meant to demand, command, respect, and the judge must conduct himself with responsibility, says a Kleyocha. Al-Achaz Kamavachamo, we have to conduct ourselves with humility. All the more so. And if we look, even there's no time now, because we will spend too much time on the Hakdama, but if you just look particularly with the perush of the Kleyocha throughout this week's parsha, he goes stage by stage to show you how the lesson of the parsha constantly in all these mitzvahs is humility. And it's no wonder that it is humility. Right? You mustn't be iron on the mizbeach. Cherev is called in the cherev is the cherev gavosecha. Cherev is a form of gaiva. Mizbeach mustn't have cherev, etc., etc. We have 1 minute left. In this week's parsha, we're told that the Yitin said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma. Right at the end of the parsha, we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu that the Velasilei b'nei Yisrael sholach yodoi vayechesus aloikim ayochlu vayishtu. machloikes meforshim whether this happened after Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, whether or not of an avihu, they stared at Hashem into the Shechina, mitoich achilo gasa, vayochlo vayishtu. So others explain, kleyoka amongst them, that the idea is like this, one of the ideas is like this, in order to go lif nailif nim, the kohen gadol must be fasting. Moshe Rabbeinu needed 40 days and 40 nights to go on to receive, to Gilui, he had to fast, he had to be 6 days before he could even start going to walk into the clouds, or start seeing Hashem, and then 4 days, 40 nights, not eating, not drinking. A normal human being cannot live that way. You have to eat, you have to drink. But we have to know that we eat and we drink, that limits our capability of getting close to, of limits our capabilities of seeing the Shekhinah. The Nodom Navir and the Shimon Zakein, they tried to combine the two. They tried to reach levels which they couldn't reach. They wanted to vayeches to Zalakim, and at the same time they were human beings, vayeuchel vayishtu. They didn't realize who they were. We have to realize who we are. We have to realize we have limitations. But we have to realize that we have a phenomenal privilege. A phenomenal privilege to be yitten. A phenomenal privilege. There's so many mitzvahs. Yitim lechochom yechkam oiz in this week's parasha. A phenomenal privilege being yitten. We received a loan from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's our lives. And we give this loan to other people. We try to help other people. We have to be humble in all our dealings with our fellow men. And above all, we have to know that we're completely helpless. There's the only thing we can do in order that we should succeed to use our rights, our lives the right way, because we're totally helpless. In mole oizoi lo yuchaloi, there's only one thing which is the key that we should be able to succeed in life with our children, with our students, with our wives, with our husbands, with our family, with our friends, to make out of life what we're meant to do. This palel, to down from Hashem, help me, I'm incapable of my own. Open my mouth to Hashem society toch ufi agitil osera. Help me to beg. I want to beg. Just help. Help me that I should make use of this life. And Hashem will help us and everything will be sorted out.